Thank you for listening to this lesson presented by Reverend Millage Mosby. We affirm that this lesson has inspired and uplifted you and given you practical tools you can use to divinely guide you in every aspect of your life. We give thanks that as a listener of our online Sunday lessons, you are open to donating to support this web ministry. Please click on the donate button and follow your inner guidance. Thank you, and we continue to hold you in the light.
Morning again. So just before I get started with the talk, I just want to share some thoughts about what we observed yesterday on TV. You know, it's interesting in that a lot of the thought may be, you know, we need to send prayers out and so forth, and that's true, but it's really also a process of understanding the dynamics of the human experience. What we're seeing happening, whether it's Charlottesville, is that where it is, or in any other part of the world, is this concept of dualism versus oneness. Okay, and in reading Ken Wilber, he was talking about how way back in the day there would be two different factions. This is one thought process, and this is another thought process, and they would pass each other and yell obscenities at each other, and that became philosophy. Right? And you know, if you were watching what was going on TV, you probably were consciously or unconsciously picking sides. But no matter what side you picked, you still would have been on the side of dualism and not on the side of oneness. Is that, you following what I'm saying? Here we understand that we're trapped in dualism, and we're studying as hard as we can to move into the consciousness of oneness. All right, and this is just out of one of Ken Wilber's books. He says, abandoning dualism is exactly what the new physics has done. Besides relinquishing the illusionary division between subject and object, wave and particle, mind and body, mental and material, the new physics, with the brilliant help of Albert Einstein, abandoned the dualism of space and time, energy and matter, even space and objects. And so what he's saying is that this whole process, even in science, is moving away. It's destroying the idea of dualism and realizing there is only oneness. And he says that the opposite of a true statement is a false statement. But the opposite of a profound truth is usually another profound truth. There is no opposite to truth, all right? And so this concept that we're working with is, how do I move out of dualism? So this is a biophysicist named L.L. White says, thus the immature mind, unable to escape its own prejudice, is condemned to struggle in the straitjacket of its dualism. Man cannot think where he is, for he has created two worlds from one. So what we're striving to do is move back into a consciousness of oneness. So when you're watching these things on TV or whatever is going on, you got to watch yourself to see, are you choosing sides? Are you moving in the same realm as what you're watching, believing that you're right and what you're thinking, and want to yell obscenities at what's going on? Does that make sense? Okay. So our whole process is, how do I come into one-mindedness? Okay. So with that in mind, let's move into today's talk, which is the fourth part of a Psalm of Healing. And again, as we do each week, we begin by reading the 23rd Psalm, to establish the truth in our minds as the basis for the lesson. Okay, so, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, he leadeth me beside still waters, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, say it with me, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Can you see how powerful that prayer is based on what we've been observing happening in the world? Okay. So today, for those who are just joining us, each week we've been working on a different line of that. Today we're going to look at, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Okay. So let's explore what the valley of the shadow of death is referring to. Now, a metaphor I have used many times before had to do with the slide projector. You remember that? Okay, so I'm going to use that metaphor, but it's going to go through the entire talk. We're going to talk about that dynamic and how it creates the way we think. All right, so, you know, if you turn on a slide projector with no slides in it, there would be a pure white light projected onto the wall or the screen. A pure, unadulterated white light, which gives a whole nother meaning to thou shalt not commit adultery. Is everybody following me? Okay. So, and again, the idea of adultery is allowing, how do I get to the place where I allow this pure white light to shine from me? And then, again, if you drop a slide in between the source of light and the lens, the image of the slide will cast a shadow. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. So what is the shadow? It's the slides we keep dropping in front of that pure white of God, light of God is shining through us. All right? And it gives a perception that the pure white light has been converted into the colors and designs of the slide. If you fill the carousel with all sorts of different slides and put the projector on automatic, there would be an endless projection of images, each stimulating a different response from the viewer. Everybody follow me so far, right? All right, so we have within us, within our consciousness, within our soul, the pure white light of God. It is the light that Jesus referred to in Matthew 5, 14, and 16 when he said, "You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine that you will give glory to your Father in heaven." So letting that light shine is when stuff is going on, you remove the slides from your mind that are going to project your own dynamic onto it, and you allow that pure light to shine through anyway, okay? And this is the pure light that God is, shining within us without any slides to alter or adulterate God's pure nature, all right? Now, in the days when slide projectors were popular, they were manufactured by companies like Bell & Howell and Kodak and Sony and others. In fact, my father worked for Bell & Howell back then. However, with the introduction of the vastly new technology, these companies don't produce those carousel slide projectors anymore, okay? However, there is one company that still produces and uses slide projectors and has a worldwide distribution network. It's called Ego Inc. Inc. being the abbreviation for incorporated, which is used here to refer to all the thoughts and fears incorporated in supporting the perpetual existence of what we are calling ourselves. Okay? Ego Inc. installs, operates, and even creates all the slides it shows in the projector of our mind. It produces a series of slides from every experience we have. The ego gives special attention to creating slides that capture the interpretation we apply to the experiences, then groups those into categories for easy playback. You follow me, right? Okay? The ego projects onto others some of the slides it creates, claiming it's you, not me, right? Or it also has slides that it says, it's because of you that I've created these slides. So we'll blame it on others or we'll blame it on whatever's happening. So the slides the ego creates and projects on the screen of the mind that it installs in keeps reminding us of what, why we love and also why we fear. It's a constant process. It's also important to note that even though the ego installs and operates a projector, and even produces and categorizes the slides to put into projector, the ego does not have its own source of light. It must borrow light from the only light that there is, and that is the light that Jesus was referring to when he says, "Let your light shine." So when he said, "Let your light shine," he was saying without what? Any of the slides that we have a tendency to put in front of that light. So that's a clearer understanding of what he was saying. Let your light shine. And we think our light is the slides we've been seeing. But our light is the pure light of God. Okay? So the ego missed the main point, though, of Jesus' statement when he said, "Let your light shine." Because the whole statement says, "Let your light shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." So how do we do that? Just try to think about the fact of looking at the world through the pure light that's within you, with no slides in between. All right? How do we let our light shine for the glory of God? Or maybe I should ask, how do we let our light shine all of the time? Because I do believe there are fleeting moments when we do let our light shine. Am I right? Okay. Now, have you ever heard of the word, I hope I say this right, evanescent? Okay, the word evanescent, it means vanishing or likely to vanish like vapor. We have evanescent moments when the ego is caught sleeping at the projector and no slides are in the slots, and we act from the pure light of our indwelling Christ. Okay? But it doesn't take long for the ego to wake up and realize what it has done and quickly pop a bunch of slides to bring us back to our senses. And what the ego calls bringing us back to our senses is the reality that is created by the slideshow that's constantly going on in our head. All right? And the slideshow is what makes up our persona or personality. It is the way we present ourselves to each other as well as the way we react to the people and situations that are going on in the world. So when you see when you're observing what's happening in the world, you really don't want to pay so much attention to what's happening as you want to pay attention to how you are reacting. All right? Is that, you get me? All right? So somehow the ego knows that if we are able to permanently break free of the hypnotic effect of the slideshow, we would wake up and discover our true reality, what Carl Jung calls our true self, that being the divine consciousness we are underneath the mask that we project ourselves from. And if that happened, the ego would be out of a job and Ego Inc. would be shut down. So the ego has to stay awake to keep us asleep. Is that deep? The ego has to stay awake to keep us asleep, to keep us from waking up and discovering the truth. And that truth is what Peter realized when he was looking at Jesus, and all of a sudden it hit him. And he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And it's the same for each one of us. Whatever is true of Jesus is also true of us. So thou art the Son, thou art the daughter of the living God. All right. And Jesus, again, taught us that whatever is true of him is also true of us. So to keep this from happening, the ego must keep the slideshow running continuously, especially when we try to become still and pray. Because if we truly could become still, like the stillness of the great mystics, we would transcend the hypnotic effect of the slideshow and discover the truth about ourselves. And how many people have experienced it? I'm going to become still. I'm going to meditate for a minute. And what happens? The slideshow kicks up, right? No commercials. It just goes straight into the main theme, and just your mind just keeps turning with that, okay? But if we could do that, if we could truly become still and transcend that slideshow, we would discover ourselves. All of our attachments, all of our resistance, all of our fears and false beliefs would fall away, and we would stand in the pure light of divine love and spiritual understanding. And this is the inner knowing that the psalmist was seeking to convey when he said, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." In other words, even though I am being bombarded with the slides of my perceptions and beliefs that I have about my life, I will not give in to them. I will fear no evil. Why? Because I realize that thou art with me. So even though through the valley of the shadow of death, without the slides, there is no valley of the shadow of death. There is a pure light of God. As soon as you drop the slide in, you create a shadow. You get it? All right? And so that process of walking through the valley of the shadow of death, we're not going to be able to get out of the valley right away. But the key is, as you're walking through the valley, is to not become trapped in the vision that you're seeing. It's sort of you see it, but you don't see it. Okay? And in the book, A Psalm of Healing, he says, one of the most perplexing and dominating illnesses of our world is fear. But that fear comes from allowing ourselves to be mesmerized by the relentless slideshow that's constantly being projected in our minds. The idea of the psalm that we're studying, is to help us to realize that even though I'm going through some scary stuff, I know in my heart, my soul, my mind, and my spirit that I am not going through this alone, because thou art with me. And that gives me the faith and the strength and the courage to endure and work through whatever I am perceiving is my reality. Did that make sense? Okay. So this is a quote from, I think his name is pronounced Hafiz, a 14th century Persian poet. He expresses, I wish I could show you, when you are lonely or in darkness, the astonishing light of your own being. All right? And you can hear the compassion in that statement. It is as if he's trying to reach out to us, feeling the struggles we're going through, trying to help us to overcome them. And Lord knows, we all know it is not easy to overcome our fears, right? Because as soon as we master one area of our lives, something pops up somewhere else to scare the bejesus out of us. And that word popped into my head. I Googled it. I want to know where that came from, bejesus, right? It actually is an Irish term, right? But, you know, what if what this psalm is telling us is, even though it's not easy, it is possible to walk with faith and strength and courage as we go through the valley of the shadow of death. In other words, even though scary stuff is being projected in our minds, we will not let that scary stuff scare us. Why? Because we know thou art with me. Right? So it's not that you're going to stop thinking scary stuff. That's just not going to happen. All right? But you can get to a place where you're not scared by the scary stuff. Okay? You see it, but it does not scare you. So the death that is being referred to in this verse is a discord that occurs within us when we begin to believe in the pictorial images of fear being projected in our minds. This causes us to lose hold of our conscious awareness of the divine life and causes negativity and dissolution to take place. Now, that I use those words very specifically. So dissolution means the extinction of life. And in this case, it is the extinction of our awareness of the life force. So when we allow ourselves to become frightened or upset or, you know, whatever, like what was going on TV, or, you know, you're looking at you and you get all wrapped up in it, you know, this dissolution is taking place. The dissolution is the extinction of life. It's the this extinction of your awareness of the divine life force within you. Okay? And when we place our belief in the negative stuff happening in our lives, it causes the death of our spirit, our enthusiasm for life, our feeling of connection to the life force. We lose hold of the realization that the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. Is that okay? And yes, I do realize that this is hard, you know, and it's just not easy to follow. You know, it's not easy not to become an emotional victim of the events and circumstances that are challenging our lives. It is hard not to fall under the spell of our fears. But that is why it is so important to take time often to go ye apart for a while to pray for strength and courage and peace. And Thomas Merton wrote in his book, Contemplative Prayer, everyone who is a serious truth student must have a monastic aspect of his or her life. You got to have time when you're alone, all right, with your own spirit. And in the book, A Psalm for Healing, he writes, paradoxically, we have to cultivate inner solitude to become conscious of the presence of God. And then that brings the awareness that we are not alone. If we crowd every moment with people and activity, this busyness distracts us from going within to discover our aloneness with God, who is our divine companion. So we have to have time to go your part work. We have to have a monastic aspect of our lives. And when we come to know that God is always with us as our divine companion, we will walk through the valley of any difficulty without becoming attached to that difficulty or distracted from our awareness of our own inner light. So it's not that we're not going to have hard times, it's that the hard times are not going to overwhelm us. We're not going to allow them to overwhelm us. Okay? So by keeping the mind focused on Thou art with me, we will see the slides of fear being projected on the screen of our mind, but we will not give our attention to them. We will see them without becoming attached to them. We will see them without claiming they are our reality. We will see them and then not see them, even though our ego will persist in projecting them on the screen of our mind. Is that you follow me? Okay, maybe I'm just talking to myself. Okay. And why will we be able to do that? Because by doing the inner work necessary to cultivate our inner solitude, we will come to know, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Now, let's get an understanding of the rod and the staff, okay? So the rod and the staff help the shepherd to look after and protect the sheep. The shepherd's rod back in those days, was a 3-foot club. The shepherd uses it to fight off wild beasts that try to attack the sheep. The rod is a symbol of power of protection. Likewise, the metaphysical rod is the power of the I am. It is the Christ, that part of our spiritual consciousness that protects us from the wild beasts of life that try to devour our faith. All right? Just as a shepherd will risk his own life, the shepherd will risk his own life to protect his sheep. It's recorded in John 10:11-15 that Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now listen to this part. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. That's powerful, isn't it? All right? And in John 10:17, Jesus says, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life. Now, the hired hand, we know who the hired hand is, right? The hired hand is the ego. All right? And he says, how often has our ego left us in the clutches, or even led us into the clutches of the wolves in our lives, okay? But at the same time, listen carefully, how often have you received an idea, a thought, an inspiration that gave you the hope and courage to overcome and slay the fear, allowing you to forge ahead? That inspiration came from your indwelling Christ, your true shepherd, okay? So the false shepherd, the hired hand, will lead you into the fear. But the true shepherd, does everybody follow me? The true shepherd will lead you out of that when you learn to acknowledge and listen. And the shepherd's staff is 8 feet long and has a curved hook on the end. The shepherd uses the staff to care for the sheep. If a sheep falls over a crevice or gets caught in a hedge, the shepherd reaches down and with a long staff and pulls the sheep back to safety. The sheep seem to know that as long as the shepherd is near with his rod and staff, that sheep have nothing to fear. And so it's written also in Psalm of Healing, we can pass through any difficulty with a calm mind, so long as we know that the rod and staff of God are there to protect us, to help us, and to raise us out of tribulation and unhappiness. Then we draw all the closer in devotion and love to this indwelling presence, the shepherding spirit of God. I love that statement. Okay. So what is this lesson giving us to work on? It is to practice walking in faith, love, peace, and joy, regardless of the nature of the slideshow being projected in your mind. It doesn't matter what the images are. They have nothing to do with what your faith is holding on to. And at the same time, our work is to practice knowing we are not alone. The Holy Spirit is always with us as our guide, as our healer, as our protector, as our provider. And the way to attain this level of consciousness is to commit yourself to holding the vision of the true shepherd above all the slides that the ego is projecting in your mind about what appears to be happening in your life. Okay? Again, remember, you see it, but you don't see it. All right? It's like when the leper came up to Jesus and said, "Can you cure me of my leprosy?" Jesus saw the leprosy, but then did not see it. And it's in the not seeing it that he was ever to bring healing to the man. You follow me? But if you see it and you go, "Oh, this is my reality," and then you got to get a bunch of people to tell them, "Oh, this is what's going on in my life." And they go, "Oh, yeah, well, let me tell you about what's going on in my life." And then you start trading stories about an illusion that's going on in your mind. Do you kind of get the picture? All right? And yes, I agree, it is not easy. But it is possible if you can hold to the truth that the Lord is my shepherd, and I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Amen.